In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Yeah, let's go to that lobby. Let's talk about the movies. We do it Mondays with Alan Adams from The Main Edge, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everybody in the family, 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Hello, Al.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Yourself?
I'm good.
We were chatting in the break. You had quite a weekend rounding up lost dogs, not your own.
That's right. Yeah, no, my wife and I were talking about this. We'd never really encountered like lost dogs in the wild before. And then in the past few days, it's just been like, we had one just straight up like come up on our porch while we were getting ready to take Stella for a walk. No collar or anything. So it was just like, oh, okay. So we wandered around the neighborhood for about 45 minutes until we figured out that we had gone in the wrong direction when we had him, because he came from one direction. So we're like, oh, that must be where his house is. Turns out he was definitely on his way home because he actually lives two houses down from us the other side. So we wandered around for 45 minutes.
So you sort of dog napped him.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah, he was on his way home. And then
but he got an adventure out of it.
That's right. That's right. So that was good. And then yesterday we were out driving and we saw somebody get loose on State Street, a big furry boy named Jack. I was telling you, we pulled over because we saw him loose. And my wife got out and just like went up to, like, didn't even cross her mind that he might be, you know, a not nice dog. But, you know, you can tell looking at him, he's just, oh, yeah, you're a good dog. Just an absolute sweetheart and a very responsible pet owner. Names, multiple phone numbers, nice. Like the whole shebang on the collar. So we were able to make the calls. And it turned out that the dog's name was Jack. Jack's dad was being a good neighbor himself and helping one of the neighbors move a mattress and box spring. Left the door open for like 2 minutes. Jack bolted. Guy didn't even know the dog was gone. Oh, just thought he was still sleeping upstairs. And so, because I mean, again, it was just like, he was just gone for a couple of minutes. So I'm super grateful. And it's just, but it's one of those things where it's like, you're happy that you're able to, you know, make sure that, so, you know, that they're safe. Yeah. Like we're big dog lovers. So well, it's nice to be able to help them out for sure.
Very cool. Well, movies, you saw a couple interesting films.
It was an interesting, selection. We'll start with the smaller offering just because there's not a ton to say. There was only one big wide release, so my second movie was a Netflix streaming option, new to Netflix, called Otherhood, a movie with a little bit of controversy in its background due to one of its stars. It was actually supposed to come out back in the spring, but since Felicity Huffman is one of the stars, and, you know, she was in the news for some things right around that time, they pushed it back until August. It's called Otherhood. It stars Angela Bassett, Patricia Arquette, and the aforementioned Felicity Huffman as three women living in Poughkeepsie. Whose friendship was begun when their own children, their sons, became friends as children. And so they've been friends for a very long time and going through relationships and all that stuff. But the sons have grown up and moved to New York City. One's an art director for a men's magazine. One's a professional window display designer. And the other one is a struggling novelist. But they're all still friends living in New York City. But you know what they don't do? They don't call their moms.
Not near enough.
Not nearly enough. And so these three have an annual tradition where on Mother's Day, they get together at one of their houses and eat donuts and drink bourbon and generally commiserate over the fact that their sons don't call. But this year's different, Rich.
Yes?
This year, they're like, you know what? We're not going to put up with this anymore. We're going to go to them. And so they pile into Patricia Arquette's Volvo station wagon and head into the city to insert themselves into their son's lives. As you can imagine, this goes fantastically. You've got Angela Bassett just rolls up into her son's apartment and just basically moves in, cramping his style significantly while also telling him that he's wasting his talents. Patricia Arquette basically breaks into her son's basement apartment and bakes lasagnas and pies and stuff and sort of leaves them there and, you know, sort of scolds him for not finding a nice Jewish girl. And then Felicity Huffman goes to her son's house where she meets her son's boyfriend. She knew he was gay, but he's never actually come out to her. And so that's a whole thing. And wouldn't you know it, the sons, not super jazzed to have their moms just kind of show up on their doorstep.
Imagine that.
Yeah, completely disrupting their lives. And so those relationships become strained. And in turn, the relationships between the three moms become strained. And, well, that's pretty much all you need to know, Rich. It's not a very good movie. It felt very, like, very low rent. Like, one of those things where... you know, say what you will about the content of Netflix movies. The production values are usually pretty good, but this movie felt a little flat. It felt very algorithm-y.
Oh dear.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Like it was just like it's just like okay. So
who will people want to see on Netflix, and what type of movie?
And that's exactly it. It's just like you could just see like boxes being checked and all that stuff, and it's just like, I mean, I get it. I understand why they do what they do, and they obviously wouldn't make a movie like this if they didn't already know that there were people who were going to watch it. And also, I'll concede that I'm not necessarily the target audience for a movie like this.
Though you like bourbon and donuts.
I do like bourbon and donuts. But, you know, my wife, who is much more in that demographic, also didn't care for it, had many of the same issues that I did. And it's a shame because it's a really talented cast. Like, obviously, those three women, some of the supporting actors are very good. Jake Hoffman, Dustin Hoffman's son, is in it. He's one of the sons. Yeah, and it's just like, you got all this talent. Like, why not make a better movie? But, again, you know, the folks at Netflix, well, they've made, like, $30 million since I sat down and in the studio. So what do I know? Again, like, honestly, like, I'm not, like, you know, sometimes I'll be like, oh, yeah, I just watch it, you know, on a plane or in the background. Like, don't even do that. Like, it's like, there's just nothing, there's no reason for you to watch Otherhood unless, you know, you want to see how Felicity Huffman's paying her, you know, bail money.
All right. That's film number one. The other one, it was 113th in the Fast and Furious franchise history.
Okay, Rich, first of all, it's Fast and Furious Presents, colon, Hobbs and Shaw. Like, let's get that right.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, I remember when this was a movie about street racing. Illegal underground street racing. And the FBI agent sent to shut it down. And now it's just completely ridiculous, absurd, car-driving, super spy lunacy. Rich, this is easily the silliest of these movies.
Wow.
To date. And that is saying something. Like, and this is coming from someone who actually likes the Fast and Furious, what the Fast and Furious movies have become. Because, you know, they're basically live action cartoons at that point. And that's fine, you know. And you know, they feed the 14-year-old boy that lives deep inside me in a way that most other movies can't. But this one is like a whole new level of just lunacy. So the titular Hobbs and Shaw are characters spun off from the Fast and Furious franchise. You've got Luke Hobbs, played by The Rock, who is he's a government agent of some sort. Like, I feel like the agency he works for has kind of changed a couple of times without any real explanation, so I'm not really sure who he works for anymore. But, you know, he basically just oils up and flexes and solves crimes, you know, like the usual stuff. And then on the other side, you've got Deckard Shaw, played by Jason Statham, who's a much more sophisticated and urbane.
Urbane, you say?
Yes.
Compared to The Rock.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
He's a semi-reformed criminal guy. There's a lot of complicated backstory there, including the fact that, you know, he definitely murdered some people in the Fast and Furious franchise that I think we're just sort of pretending that's all water under the bridge, I guess. Anyway, he is enlisted by his government, reluctantly, to also occasionally fight bad guys in nightclubs or whatever. So you've got these two guys operating in their own separate spheres. But then there's an incident, Rich.
Oh, boy.
A genetically engineered, Deus Ex MacGuffin virus called Snowflake, which is, they don't tell you, it liquefies your organs and it's 100% fatal and communicable and all that stuff. You know, like just, you know, a bunch of made up stuff. This virus is being transported, guarded by a number of MI6 agents, when all of a sudden Idris Elba shows up. And Idris Elba, his name's Brixton, but we're just going to call him Idris Elba. Actually, we're going to call him Robot Idris Elba, because here's the thing. Idris Elba has been genetically and cybernetically enhanced. Oh. So he's like bulletproof and like he can like he's like super strong and super fast and like there's metal inside him and stuff and there's a computer in his eye and all this, you know, ridiculous stuff. And so he basically, you know, cuts a swath through these MI6 agents. But there's one, this one agent, Hattie, played by Vanessa Kirby, who's able to she wants to keep the virus out of Idris Elba's hands, and so she infects herself with the virus. Only the thing is the delivery thing, the virus comes in little like degradable capsules. So she like basically she has like 72 hours before she actually catches the virus to get it out and do whatever it is that they're going to do with it. So Robot Idris Elba frames her and says, oh, well, she, you know, basically indicates that she's the one who stole the virus. And so the Rock and Jason Statham are brought in to track down this person, and then they're forced to team up, and they don't like each other, Rich.
Really?
Yeah, they're not fans of one another, and they don't want to work together. They don't get along, but you know the fate of the world is at stake, so they're going to have to try to muscle through it. They don't do a great job initially. Like there's some back and forth, some really negative energy flowing between the two. So they're forced to team up by their respective handlers. The Rock's handler, by the way, played by Ryan Reynolds, just, you know,
all right,
just randomly, he's there.
Nothing else to do.
Yep. And then the MI6 agent who is infected with the virus, turns out it's Shaw's sister. Because of course it is.
Yeah, why not?
And so they find her, and then they wind up all teaming up together, Hobbs and Shaw and Shaw's sister, and they're going to fight against Idris Elba, the robot, and the evil, shadowy, technological corporation that's behind him that basically wants to help humanity to the next step of evolution by killing everyone. Their plan's not particularly clear, Rich, but they really seem like they really want this virus, and they really want to just set it loose, and then I don't know, it's one of those things where, you know, infect humanity, step two, question marks, step three, profit. Like, I honestly don't know that they've thought it through. No. Much more than that. Yeah, and then there's a whole bunch of fighting, and at one point the Rock holds down a helicopter with a tow truck chain, and the third act takes place in Samoa, because turns out the only person who can fix the machine that needs to help the virus
is Moana. No,
we wish. it's the Rock's estranged brother, who he hasn't seen in many years, who lives in Samoa, and he's a mechanic, but he also is able to repair this incredibly high tech piece of machinery for reasons.
Yeah, but no one goes for this plot anyway.
Well, and that's
right?
The thing. Like, you don't care about the story. I don't care about the story. Literally nobody in the theater cares about the story. And the reality is, like, there's a great dynamic between The Rock and Jason Statham. Like, they're wonderful sort of action star archetypes, and they're different, and so you put them together, they clearly have a chemistry together, both in terms of physically, because, you know, they fight a lot, and then comedically, because again, they fight a lot, and so there's a lot of that stuff. Vanessa Kirby is fine. Idris Elba is having an absolute blast. Like, bless his heart. Like, that's a dude who is very aware of what kind of movie he's in and is super jazzed about it. And is just like, yeah, no, I'm bulletproof and I got computer eyes. Let's do this. Like, I can control my motorcycle with my mind. This is the best thing ever. And then you've got other phenomenally accomplished British actors in this cast. Helen Mirren shows up. Because she's Mother Shaw, so they visit her in prison a couple of times. Because she's a crime lord, so obviously she's in prison.
Yeah,
and again, that's like it's always a delight to see Helen. Because I just remember a few years back, Helen Mirren like going on the record being like, I really want to be in one of those movies, and they listened. And this is, I think, her third one. I think this is the third time we've seen her in one of these movies. You know, the set pieces are gigantic and, like I said, ridiculous. I mentioned, The Rock riding on the back of a tow truck. They try to winch in a helicopter, but the chain comes loose from the winch. And so The Rock grabs it and, holds the helicopter back because he's The Rock and he could do that. I will say at one point, there's like 2/3 of the way through the movie, there's the scene, there's the spectacular explosion and everybody falls off a cliff and plummets hundreds of feet and lands at the bottom. And I literally, it just came out. Like, I didn't mean to say it, but I said out loud, well, the movie's over. Everybody's dead. Turns out, everybody's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, like, it's like cats.
They land on their feet.
Well, it's just one of those things where it's like, and I'm perfectly willing to suspend disbelief, but you just reach a certain point and it's like it's just, like, I was just like, oh, yeah, no, everybody is dead. And they're not. They're not dead. Like, they just get up and shake it off and go back to punching and quipping and with their fist fights and their cornball dialogue. And
because they all need to come back for Fast and Furious presents Calvin and Hobbes and stuff.
I would watch the crap out of that, just by the way.
And finally get me to a Fast and Furious movie.
Look, it's ridiculous, but it's going to be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like that's the whole joy of these movies. Like they've really... They've just really decided to lean into the insanity of it all. I don't think there's an action franchise going that defies physics more blatantly than the Fast and Furious. And I'm including the Marvel Cinematic Universe that includes superheroes with superpowers. And I think the Fast and Furious movies are less believable than like the Avengers. And that's okay. Like you're gonna have a great time. And again, it's maybe the first time where I've kind of seen like, oh, this is this too much? Is this too much for me? And it's not, but it's one of those where I've never really considered it before. And so one imagines that, by the time they make it out into space, which one assumes is the logical endgame, I might be out. But when I stop at am I ever really going to be out, Rich?
No.
Probably not.
They'll
but
keep
yeah.
pulling you back in.
Hobbs and Shaw. You'll have, if this is your thing, you'll have a good time.
That's Alan Adams talking movies every Monday on Pass the Popcorn. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.